Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. One of the places under assault in that war is one of its northernmost outreaches, Sweden. It is a country that has been afflicted for many years by some very muddle-headed thinking on the part of its government on matters of, well, I think national security as well as sort of its role in the West, but most especially of late, it has been one of the targets of folks making what is known to them, at least, as the Hijra, a kind of migration very much in the tradition of Muhammad and Sharia-adherent Islam, a spreading of the faith. And one of the people who has been chronicling what has been happening in her country with great acumen and courage is our guest for this full hour exploration of what is happening to the free world, seen from the vantage point of Sweden, and that would be where we catch up with Ingrid Carlqvist. She is a distinguished senior fellow at an institution that I've come to admire greatly, the Gatestone Institute. She has, in addition, for many years, been a journalist and author based in Sweden, and she is always a welcome guest here, and I couldn't be more pleased to have a full hour of your time. Ingrid Carlqvist, welcome. Good to have you.
Thank you so much, Frank. I'm honored to be on.
Well, I'd like to talk maybe sort of by way of scene setting before we get into some of the particulars as to what's been happening to your country, but how does this Hijra manifest itself as you see it? Is that the correct way to think of what's been happening over the past year and seems to be likely to continue for the foreseeable future?
Absolutely. The problem in Sweden is that nobody talks about Hijra. Nobody knows about this. I try to, you know, make it known, but the politicians, the leftists, the journalists, they're all covering this migration wave, this Hijra, as it were, you know, poor people fleeing from bombs and wars, and they're fleeing for their lives. Even though we all know that not even a majority of the persons who have come here, they are not even from Syria, they are not coming from the war, they are just economic migrants. So it is Hijra, but nobody's talking about it in Sweden, except me.
Well, and we bless you for doing so, as I say, with considerable, I think, clarity, as well as a degree of concern that should be felt by not just the Swedes, but by all of us. And when we talk about this migration, using that term, Hijra, of course, this means basically a kind of, well, mass movement or colonization, invasion, some would define it, by people who are seeking to spread their brand of Islam. As I say, I think they describe it as Sharia adherent Islam. And when you see people migrating, whether it's for economic reasons or, you know, some sense of simply seeking a better life or for the purpose of spreading their faith, how does that manifest itself in a country like Sweden, Ingrid?
First of all, we have been experiencing quite a lot of Islamization in my country. There are a lot of schools that just serve halal food. Muslims, you know, they don't want to go to the public swimming pools unless there are special times for women and so on. And we see this, you know, they come with these demands all the time. But the most, I mean, last year we had into Sweden 163,000 people seeking asylum. And this is a country of 9.5 million people. And, you know, Sweden used to be the most homogenous people, the most homogenous country in the Western world up until 20 or 30 years ago. Now, from these 9.5 million, I think 2 million have a foreign background. And I guess now we have almost 1 million Muslims in this country. And so far, we haven't had a terror attack in Sweden. We had one who tried, but he only killed himself, you know, the Stockholm bomber in 2010. But we have another sort of jihad. We have the rape jihad. And this has been manifesting itself the last half a year or so in the public swimming pools. You know, we had a lot of these so-called unaccompanied refugee children from Afghanistan. There is no war in Afghanistan. They don't have reason to come here, but they come and they claim to be children. They say that they are 16 or 17, because then you will be, you will have more money, you will be fast-tracked through the asylum process. And you can even, the latest thing that happened is that if these Afghans, some of them are 30 or 35 and they claim to be 17, if they say to the authorities that their parents have been killed, they can go to the pension authority in Sweden and get a pension because you're a child and your parents are not alive anymore. But we have seen these Afghani so-called children running rampant at the public swimming pools. A lot of women or girls have been groped at, they have been harassed, they have even been raped in the public swimming pools.
Now, Ingrid, I think it is important to say that there will be probably those who challenge the proposition that there's no war in Afghanistan. There certainly has been for some time, and it seems as though in some parts of the country, at least, it's intensifying at the hands of not just the Taliban, but the Islamic State. But your point, I think, is really the critical one, and that is that people are coming in under false pretenses, if not with respect to, you know, the dangers at home, certainly with respect to their status. And I think what you've just described, and it's unfortunately, as I understand it, not confined to sexual assaults on women and girls, but also on boys in the swimming pools of Sweden. And how are the Swedes responding to this? Is it the case that they're excluding such folks, or are they now self-excluding, in effect?
I think the Swedes are self-excluding. I talk to people who work in the public swimming pools, and they say anonymously, they tell me that even Swedes who have paid for a whole year, they stop coming there because they don't feel safe anymore, and they worry about their children and so on. So we actually, they get a free access to the public swimming pools, these so-called young boys, because they go crazy if they just stay at the asylum houses. So they let them go to the swimming pool, and they destroy everything for the Swedes who like to, you know, just have a swim and play with their children, and so they don't come anymore. And this has actually been reported in the mainstream media. Most of the things that happen that are not so good about immigration, especially Muslim immigration, they don't even report it. But this with the swimming pools, this has been so hot stuff, so they actually reported on it.
Now, speak about that reporting problem. The larger challenge of having this rape jihad, as you call it, taking place in Sweden has, as I understand it, generally been either inaccurately reported or not reported on at all. Is that correct?
Absolutely. You know, Sweden has the number one place in Europe for police reported rapes. We are the number one country, if you like to call it number one, and in the world we are number two. And this is crazy, you know. 1975, when they started with the statistics over rapes and so on, we had 421 rapes in 1 year, 1975. That is also the year when the parliament decided that Sweden was not supposed to be a Swedish country anymore, but a multicultural one. And 2014, which is the latest figure I have, we had 6,600 something rapes.
And disproportionately conducted.
Totally disproportionate. And they say they have some ways to explain the figures away. First of all, they say that women are now more brave. They go to the police. They don't feel ashamed and, you know, don't talk about it. But if that was true, why do Denmark only report sort of 350 rapes a year And Sweden has twice as big a population as Denmark, so we should have like 700 reported rapes, but we have 6,600. So that
Ingrid,
you can just forget.
Let us come back to this in just a moment. We have to pause. We're speaking with Ingrid Carlquist. We'll be visiting more about what the implications are for Western societies when they are subjected to this kind of misconduct and HIDRA. That and more right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.